Salvate discipoli and salvate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin and Layman's. Going to be doing a myth this time around. I wanted to do Narcissus again with Echo, and I wanted to rewrite it and do a little bit more of a dealio. I did it back, especially, it was about a month ago, and it was also when Andrew Huberman was everybody was trying to cancel him because apparently he's been able to juggle like six different girlfriends. Yeah. Anyways, we're not going to get into him because we know that he's a narcissist because he freezes his own sperm. And you know what? As soon as I heard that he does that, I'm like, dude, like, no one should think that they're that important that they should freeze their own sperm in order to inoculate people later on in their life. If you're going to do it biologically in the time frame that you can. And if you're not going to be able to do that, then let biology run its course, man. Stop trying to do weird shit. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that narcissist. Maybe you know many narcissists in your life. I think a lot of the time, so many people are accidental narcissists because we have become so fixated on our image, on vanity, and you know, I think it's important to really look outward rather than inward. Like I've talked about it before in the past, the way in which I feel fulfilled and what I've garnered from, especially when I'm, you know, squandering or feeling like woe is me, is that I give. I go outside of myself. I go outside of myself that in turn actually reciprocates and builds me up inside, makes me feel fulfilled, makes me proud of myself. You know, when I'm not doing anything, I'm like, all right, I'm feeling idle. You guys know that, like, as of recent, you know, because of the whole getting canned and whatnot and it being the weirdest situation, a shout out. My boy had great coffee with him, Mr. Stamper. You are an amazing man. You're an amazing person. And I love that we're able to just basically converse about just anything and everything. And aligned so well. It was really great seeing you. It was really great catching up. I think that the way in which this has all transpired with my prior school is that I felt that really Monument kicked me to the curb and that I haven't felt welcome to come back. And I don't know how welcome I am to come back, but from understanding his perspective, people miss me still. And that makes me feel good because I've felt very, at the beginning, felt held hostage. They wouldn't let me come and get my stuff unless it was on their terms and this and that, and locking me out of my account before they actually fired me. And I just, everything has transpired and given me kind of information to where they want nothing to do with me anymore. And I don't know. I really want to go to graduation because it's the first high school graduation. And I have some seniors there that I very much want to support. And I want to support those kids because I still love them. And I love my students. I love them deeply. I was going through a hard time physically, health-wise. And it's good to know that I'm back to where I was. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be given the opportunity to finish out the year in a healthy state of mind, because I know that I'm a rockin' awesome teacher and I know that those kids are not learning anything, and it sounds pretty chaotic having two teachers for the Latin class. So I don't know how they're doing that. I hope that they can continue the Latin program. That being said, I'm not going to be there anymore because you guys know me. I'm moving on, kind of a lateral step to move onward and upward. UNM master's program. But with that being said, you know me, I just ramble bamble in these intros. But you know what? I love telling you guys a little bit of part of my life. I'm bringing you on my journey. I feel like some of you guys have been with me on this journey for so long. I've been doing this podcast forever. It's crazy when I think about it, you know, all the way back in quarantine. I've taken quite a few episodes off, but like I've accumulated like more than 300 episodes of just me speaking into this microphone. And Madeline, when she had left that voicemail, it really, really lifted my soul. You guys should consider it. I want to hear your voices. Maybe you don't want to hear your voice, but I want to hear your voice. And it's a good way for you to show gumption. Do something that maybe you wouldn't have done in the past. That's a leveling up in a way. You're doing something new, something different. You're reaching out. Only if you want to, and only if your soul is moved to do so. But I would really like to hear from you. I would like to hear your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, what you want to hear from more, your questions regarding me, if you have any, regarding the myth, your thoughts. I would love to have a complete discourse over a mythology. If I could have a bunch of voice messages come on in from other people kind of being like, well, I think the hubris that was conducted was blah, 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 and that this has ideological implications of blah, 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 but also it highlights the thematic elements of this and this and this that has been in the past and also relate into the future and why we, you know, look at these myths. I don't know. Think about it at least. And if not, send this podcast out to people that would love to engage with me or would love to engage with the content. I really would appreciate that. From my heart to yours, if you can help in any way, please do so. Why not? Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a faraway land, in the verdant heart of a sun-dappled forest where wildflowers bloomed in vibrant chaos, lived Echo, a nymph known for her vivacious chatter. Every rustle of leaves, every gurgle of a hidden stream, every chirp of a bird was met with her enthusiastic echo. Yet a curse bestowed by Hera, the jealous queen of the gods, bound Echo to silence. She could only repeat the last words spoken, leaving her yearning to express her own thoughts and desires. One day, a young hunter named Narcissus, famed for his unparalleled beauty, ventured into the forest. His gaze, as captivating as a sunlight pool, turned heads wherever he went. But Narcissus, oblivious to the havoc he wreaked on hearts, harbored a chilling indifference. His heart, encased in a haughty self-absorption, held no room for love. Drawn by the echoes of his own footsteps, Narcissus called out, "Is anyone there?" Echo, hidden behind a willow tree, her heart quickening with a forbidden hope, could only answer, "Here." Rather, "Is anyone here?" And she answered, "Here." The sound, seemingly disembodied, startled Narcissus. The hunter searched the woods, frustration blooming on his face. "Come out," he demanded. Echo's voice, a whisper on the wind, replied, "Out." The chase continued, Echo's requited love deepening with each encounter. She longed to confess her feelings, to reach out and touch the object of her affection. But the curse choked her voice, leaving her a silent observer of Narcissus's obliviousness. One scorching afternoon, exhausted from the hunt, Narcissus stumbled upon a crystal-clear pool nestled amidst the trees. The water, still and pristine, reflected the cerulean sky above. As Narcissus leaned to quench his thirst, a gasp escaped his lips. From a boy who had a lip here. Gazing back at him, locked in the pool's embrace, was the most breathtaking visage he had ever seen. Those eyes, like sapphires, mirrored his own. The perfect lips, curved in a faint smile, echoed his own. Entranced, Narcissus reached out, his hand brushing against the cool water. The reflection did the same. He spoke, his voice softer with wonder. "Who are you?" The water rippled, sending a distorted reflection back at him. "Who are you?" it echoed, the voice laced with longing. Narcissus, his heart pounding with a newfound affection, believed he had encountered a kindred spirit trapped within the pool. He spent hours by its edge pouring out his desires, weaving tales of his hunts and conquests. Every heartfelt statement was met with an echo, fueling his infatuation. He yearned to the bridge, or rather, he yearned to bridge the distance, to touch the being who mirrored his every move and emotion. Days bled into weeks, and Narcissus remained by the pool, neglecting his duties and friendships. His once vibrant health began to fade. He grew thin and pale, his obsession consuming him. The nymphs, filled with sorrow for the withering youth, pleaded with him to come to his senses. "Love yourself not too much," they warned, but their words, like whispers on the wind, went unheeded. One day, a Narcissus leaned closer to the water and, yearning for a physical connection with his reflection, he realized the horrifying truth. He was not looking at another person, but at his own mirrored image. The cruel realization shattered the illusion he had built. His love was not reciprocated. It was merely a reflection of his own vanity. Despair washed over him, bitter and cold. He had been chasing a ghost, neglecting real love for an empty reflection. As the weight of his folly pressed down on him, Narcissus withered away. Echo, ever the silent observer, witnessed his decline with a heart filled with a strange mix of sorrow and vindication. Narcissus, his once proud gaze dimmed, finally understood. He finally understood all this emptiness of his self-absorption, but it was too late. As he breathed his last breath, whispering a final goodbye to the reflection, the nymphs watched in silence. Where he lay, a delicate flower with white petals and a golden heart bloomed. The Narcissus, a perpetual reminder of his tragic love. Side note, I don't think that Narcissus flowers are actually that pretty. Echo, heartbroken but free from the burden of unrequited love, faded into the forest. Her voice, once vibrant and playful, became a mere whisper, echoing in caves and mountains, a constant reminder of the consequences of unfulfilled desires and the fleeting nature of beauty. Like I always say, looks fade, dumb is forever. I wish more people on TikTok knew that too. But why does it matter? Well, first off, etiologically speaking, it explains what an echo is, right? How she echoed the final words that were emitted from Narcissus's mouth. Who is here? Here. Come out. Out. So that goes to show. But also, etiologically speaking, this gives the reasoning for a Narcissus flower and why we call it a Narcissus flower. Although, like I said, I don't think that they're particularly beautiful by any means. But it explores this timeless psychological phenomena, narcissism, the looking and inward at oneself, being vain, being self-absorbed, feeling like the world revolves around you. Because it talks about these dangers of self-absorption and importance of genuine connection, right? You should love yourself, but there's a threshold. And you can pass that threshold because Narcissus's character serves as this cautionary point to really veer away from that excessive self-love. But because his inability to see beyond his own reflection highlighted the dangers of unchecked vanity, you just got to check yourself. You should admire yourself. You should love yourself. You should be proud of yourself. But remember, you know the difference. You know the difference between what is narcissistic versus what is self-empowerment. You also have to understand empathy here and Echo's plight and how it emphasizes the importance of that empathy, because her inability to express her feelings directly leads her to her silent suffering. I feel bad for her. Hera's just such a poopy butthole. She should have just went ahead and been like, you know what, Zeus? I'm not going to take this abuse anymore. I'm sick of you cheating on me. Get out of my house. Go find a place to crash until you figure it out. And you can come back. And if you cheat on me again, then I'm kicking you out of Mount Olympus. I don't know. So we have these consequences, again, that we see relayed of unfulfilled desires. Both Narcissus and Echo grapple with these unfulfilled desires. Narcissus seeks a love that doesn't exist, while Echo is forever denied by the ability to express those true feelings of love. And so this Echo and Narcissus here acknowledge the processing of desires, and it suggests that we should be acknowledging and processing our desires, even the painful ones, because it's really important for our emotional well-being. We can't just get so fixated, because then we become isolated to whatever we are fixated on, and it becomes a vacuum of just thinking about that and ruminating on it and becoming and suffering in silence, which I do a lot. We all need to be better about it. It's a reminder for me to not ruminate so much, to not get down the rabbit hole too much. I've been doing that quite a bit, especially after having been, you know, this whole situation with my prior school. One thing that I really want to go ahead and highlight, though, is that looks fade, dumb is forever. It highlights this fleeting nature of beauty. And despite Narcissus's captivating looks, the myth reminds us that outwardly beauty is ephemeral. It's transient. It's going to go. You can hold on to it for as long as you can, but we see how people have body dysmorphia. Well, I'm not trying to at people right now, but back in the day, body modifications, boob jobs, rhinoplasties, whatever you wanted to get, back then, they characterized those patients as body dysmorphic because they were in turn seeing themselves not as beautiful, and they used medical interventions, sought out medical interventions to make them more beautiful. You can hold on to that, but then you end up looking like Madonna, and she looks like her face is, it's just, you see, and everybody knows too. It's like when I talk to other people, it's like, I'm looking at, like, I saw Zac Efron. I'm like, the guy was already good looking. Why'd you gotta get some work done on your face? I guess, you know what? If you do it for you, do it for you. But don't do it for everybody else. Because that's when you're allowing yourself to be basically manipulated and coerced by everybody else, which is also very narcissistic, because you think that everybody cares so much about how you look that you got to continue to iterate upon it and make it better and better and better and better and better. You are perfect the way you are. I promise you. I remember saying that so many times to past girlfriends as well, like just things that they were so very self-critical about. That's the problem, social media. It makes us so critical of ourselves now. We look at ourselves and evaluate every aspect, angle, every single fold of skin. It sucks. I promise. And I would tell them, I was like, I love it the way it is. I love you the way you are. I wouldn't have it any other way. So the power of self-reflection is what's going to wrap it up here with understanding and seeing that Narcissus's reflection initially serves as a symbol of his vanity. The myth can also be interpreted as a call for that self-reflection, because as we see, he kind of comes to fruition at the end, but it's a little bit too late. But by confronting our flaws and limitations, we can cultivate a more balanced and healthy sense of ourself. we will always be imperfect. Like I always tell people, people love it when I say this, but I'm like, nobody can be a Jesus in this world. And it's true. Nobody can. You can try your best, but you can't be perfect. So with all that, give yourself a little bit of a break. Be proud of yourself. You know what narcissism is versus what self-empowerment is and self-admiration. Go towards the latter rather than the former. And with that being said, tempus est discedere.